Well, let's continue from where we stopped. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. All right, so in Matthew's Gospel 28, if you will join me to read from verse 18. So Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that word their power is what authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all things. One of the things we want to pay attention to is the instruction that we see in verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. We said the word there teach is the word that means to make disciples. That means make people students. So make disciples of every nation, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And that really has to, you know, speak about teaching them to observe in verse 20, whatsoever things I have commanded you. We've laid a foundation to understand that Jesus taught for 40 days back to back. And in the teaching of Jesus for 40 days back to back, we see Matthew's summary as, go ye therefore and teach them to observe, that is, pay attention to the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And with an assurance, he says, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we said the word end of the world here, and it's not as much the destruction of the world, but actually the accomplishment or the fulfillment of what has begun. Are we together? You know, so you always have an idea about the end of the world as, you know, everywhere being destroyed and storms coming from left, right, center. You know, but we need to be able to understand Bible words and the way Bible uses their words. Well, we've paid attention to that before, but you can go to Matthew 16 quickly. And go to Matthew 16 and verse 13. So Jesus will come to the coast of Caesarea in verse 13 of Matthew 16. And he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, one of the things we want to pay attention to is the fact that Jesus is asking for their understanding of who they think he is, or their perception of who Jesus really is. And you know, to a very large extent, a man cannot know himself outside knowing, you know, who Jesus is. A saint will not be able to understand or let me say it differently. The revelation of Jesus unveils or reveals the identity of the believer to the believer, right? So Jesus will ask, who do you say that I am? And he will say that some will say I'm Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, and others say you're the prophet. So Jesus will say, okay, you've answered the questions for other people, but whom do you say that I am? Right? And verse 16, some preacher will say what? Some Peter will say, thou art what? Thou art Christ, right? Thou art what? Thou art Christ, are you there? The Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, what? Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is where? In heaven. Are you following me this morning? Right? And I say unto you, thou art what? Peter. Thou art what? Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Now, we said to prevail against it means to withstand. Right? So what is Jesus doing on the earth? He is building. He's building what? His church. What is the word church? Ecclesia. What does ecclesia mean? Called out. Those who are called out. Those who are called out from darkness, called into his light. Right? So we are saying that Jesus is building a people. Say Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus, Jesus is building a community of people. Say Jesus is building a community. Say I'm in the community that Jesus is building. Say I'm in the community that Jesus is building. So one of the things we put attention to in the last few weeks is supernatural what? Relationships. And we said that supernatural relationships exist between saints. Right? And what do we do to supernatural relationships? We guide, we guard against what? Bitterness and what? Strife. Right? Can people in supernatural relationships offend themselves?
Yes.
Why did you say yes so fast? I thought we are immune to offend, to Hallelujah. Right? So we need to be able now. the relationship that exists between human beings, by default, would be prone or has a tendency to be exposed to things that will make us upset, angry. Altogether, right? Like I told you before, if you are here listening to me and you've never been upset in your entire life, it's one of two things. It's either that you've not lived long enough with people or you've not lived long enough on the earth. Are we together? Right? People would have done things that would have gotten to you, that would have, you know, stepped on your toe. And I told you, for man not to step on your toe, even people, if you don't have toe to step on, they will step on it. Altogether, that is what comes with relationships. Right? And the devil knows it. So the devil tries to bring those very minor things. You know, you find that a lot of relationships that break down, right? A lot of relationships that break down, they are breaking down from, if you look at what really caused the breakdown, it could have been avoided. Or it could move on from it. Are we together? It could have been avoided, or what? It could move on from it. Now, start looking at examples of Paul and Barnabas. Is that true?
Yes,
yeah, what happened to Paul and Barnabas? They were, Paul was called in Acts 7, 8, 9, right? Barnabas as well will meet with Paul. They will start their Christian relationships, spiritual relationships. And there will be a man called what? Called who?
John Mark.
Right? There will be a man called John Mark. And John Mark will be doing ministry with them. But at the point in Acts 13, 13, John Mark will leave them, right? For whatever reason, right? And Paul will take note of the John Mark that leaves him. And I see, one of the things that I learned from that story is that people can leave anybody. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know that? People can leave anybody. Do you know people left Jesus?
Yeah.
Look at John 6. John 6. Go to John 6 with me. We started teaching already. John 6. So if I look too much into my watch, it's my wife's picture like this. And this is the staple. I hope she's listening to me. Look at John chapter 6, verse 66. Right? It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Who is that?
Jesus.
Is that Jesus?
Yes.
Did people stop following Jesus?
Yes.
Right now. People stop following Jesus. If I see Jesus' question, look at his question in 67. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? You know, so that's what happened in verse 66 is not figure of speech. I was together. So Paul and Barnabas, you know, John Mark will leave Paul and Barnabas. You know, Demas will leave Paul. We've seen that, right?
Yeah.
2 Timothy 4 verse, from verse 9, right? And Paul will say, Demas has forsaken me. Are we together? Right? You know, but the thing about relationship is that a lot of times, you see, imagine people, look at it though. Let me put it for you in a different context. If I say people left Jesus, I'm saying people left God. Do you understand that? I'm saying people left God. You understand? So when people, and that is why we need to be very careful in our world, in this generation where the reigning thing is cutting people off. You know that idea of cutting people off? Right, you cut someone off, you destroy someone, you destroy the relationship between you and someone, and to a very large extent, it's the plan of the devil. Let me ask you a question: people that left Jesus, do you think they might have had a legitimate explanation as to why they should leave? Yeah, but who lost? They left. All together, we started looking at Abraham and Lot. Remember, Abraham and Lot. Who was Abraham? Abraham was the uncle of Lot. God called Abraham in Genesis 12. Right? And in the call of Abraham, Abraham took Lot, his brother's son. And Abraham was wealthy. The Bible says he was rich in gold, cattle, silver. That was a wealthy man. And Abraham, with his knowledge, taught his nephew how to make it. Yeah? So Lot joined GNCC. Are we together? Right? So Lot joined the group chat. Lot joined the group chat of Abraham's masterclass. And Abraham taught Lot how to be wealthy. And it was manifest in Lot's life. Lot became wealthy. And Lot became wealthy, he started having servants. And the Bible says that Abraham's son, servants, and Lot's servants, they were what? Fighting. Strife came. And Abraham will notice, Abraham is the elder one. Abraham will notice that there's strife between his servants and Lot's servants. And he will call Lot and say, do not allow these people to get in between us. Let's sort out this thing. But Lot will say, no. The greater is his name is Jesus. I'm born a winner. I rejoice.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would have said something like, oh, I'm solid enough to stand on my own.
Let me tell you something. You know that life, a lot of journeys in life are better done with company than alone. That's why the devil wants to. When you see the devil trying to look for people around you to cause strife between people around you so that you would not have people around you, he's targeting you. Right? Yeah? You know that song, Lonely at the Top? Yeah? So if you like it, right? Okay, you don't know. You don't know it. I went at the back of it, that's one. I know someone that looks like you in the back of video. How did I see the video? I saw it on a random page. So, someone just woke up and an interesting thing. I love the instrumental of the song, and that's one of the songs in my entire life. Over 10 years, that's one of the songs I heard in passing, and I went to go and look for. What did this people say? Yeah. But you know, there's a way it makes you feel. If you're not careful to draw the line as a believer, you would think that should be your reality. Because you will have friends around you who are detesting you, who are fighting with you. And you tell everybody your song is Lonely at the Top. Right? And you'll be singing it morning, afternoon, evening. And you are encouraging yourself. You understand now? Because you're trying to sympathize with yourself that the top is really lonely. You understand? And that's a reality. Right? Now what that makes you now begin to look for how to show people. I will show you that because I left you or because you left me, like you get to. So, see, the end of that journey, you don't know. So, Lot will wake up. How many times was Lot in trouble that Abraham rescued him? It was twice. Twice. We saw that last week, Sunday. Two times. Lot will say, no, Abraham, I'm not staying with you again. And Lot will now go towards Sodom. And they will kidnap Brother Lot. But a fatherly heart like that of Abraham, we will see that they kidnapped Brother Lot. The Bible says Abraham armed 318 of his trained soldiers. For Abraham to have 318 men that he was training, it means that Lot did not have up to that number. It means that Lot went with a smaller number. It means that if Lot had remained in the relationship with Abraham, they would not kidnap him, most likely. So Lot began to fight the battle. He went on his own. They kidnapped him. Abraham went and defeated 4 kings. That's the narrative of Melchizedek when Abraham gave the first tithe, first mention of tithe in the Bible. He fought the war. That says he was rich. He didn't get richer because of the tithe. Every other instance that Abraham got richer regarding, it was not because of tithe. It was because he did business. He would trade his sister. I'm trading. He traded his wife. You know that song? I'm trading my wife as a sister. Yeah. So he traded and he did business. Solid businessman. Lot was captured. Abraham rescued him. Abraham brought Lot and everything that was for Lot and came back. How did Abraham know Lot was captured? There was no WhatsApp status. It's not like they kidnapped Lot and Lot just say, it's happening now. With a WhatsApp status. It's happening now. Call Abraham. But no. I was saying somebody from Lot's camp escaped and went to go and tell Abraham. And Abraham went there. Abraham is like a picture of a pastor who would have to have a large heart of a shepherd despite what a Lot will do to him. And Abraham will go there, rescue him, and come back. And Lot will still feed. He will eat Abraham's food. He will become sterilized. He will go again. He will still misbehave. Abraham will still go for him. Then to get to a point, Lot will now say, there's no way I can stay. Let me go and live in cave. Him and his two daughters. And the daughters will walk in the flesh. And they say, we're going to sleep with our pups. Because we want his son name to be extended. They will drink, give him wine. He will be drunk. And what will happen? Lot's children will give birth for him. Then the first child will be called Moab. That's where the Moabites started from. From that point, the Moabites began to be referred to as Gentiles. We saw that in Deuteronomy. Because the Israelites will be going for war and God will instruct them, don't touch the Moabites. We will now see a woman called Naomi and her husband Elimelech. Is that true? Yeah. Elimelech and Naomi, they will go to where? Moab. They relocated. You know the Greek word chap? No. Chap. The Greek word is chap. You know the Greek word chap. So the chap, right? And the chap there. And they got there and they saw beautiful women. And Elimelech and his two sons found wives. Ruth and who? Orpah. Right? Right? So Ruth and Orpah, and they will marry the two sons of Naomi. But the two sons will die and the husband within 10 years. Then Ruth will say, and Naomi will say, let me go back to my home country, Judah. We saw from Genesis 49 that the Bible says in Genesis 49 that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, one of you called my attention to something I must have said in passing mistakenly, and I need to correct that. I've listened to the two teachings I did in the last 2 weeks, but I could see that there might be a mistake in interpretation. It was around insinuating that Judah was the one that was restored back to the relationship. No, what I meant to say was Ruth the Moabite restored the Moabites. Do you understand? Because at the point of the Moabites, became a Gentiles, they were not under the covering of the Judah people. Do you understand? So Ruth, the Moabite, is the one that will marry Boaz, the Judahite. Do you understand? And they will give birth to who? Obed. Give birth to who? Jesse. And give birth to who? David. And from that lineage, Jesus will come from. Do you understand that? So the Moabites will now come back into the lineage of the Judah people through who? The marriage of Ruth and Boaz. Now, is that a restoration of relationship? Yeah. You know, a lot of times when things happen like that, some of the questions that might go through your mind is, what if Ruth had not? What if Ruth had not? What if Ruth went away with like Orpah did? Do you understand? And that is why you can't always determine what is happening behind the scene. Man cannot always, with their biological eyes, see it into eternity. Man will not always see into eternity. So imagine a man like Lot, who will be rescued by Abraham and still go. Altogether. So Lot will never have thought that his brother will be the one to come to his rescue. Lot will never have thought that, you know, relationships should not just be broken anyhow. So in our world right now, we see people just, you know, breaking relationships. Right? And I've always told you, let me tell you, if God will do anything on the earth today, he will do it through men. God wanted to save mankind. He came as a man. God's palace members, you need men. You need men. You need men. Don't allow any illusion shy you from saying, oh, I'm alone, I'm a loner. No, 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 no. God will use men for you. Let me tell you something. If men destroy you, men are the same people God will use to elevate. Men. And I told you on Wednesday, I begged all of you that listened to me on Wednesday, I begged in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not walk in dishonor towards a pastor. And I told you on Wednesday, I begged you on Wednesday, and I'm begging you again openly, don't walk in dishonor towards a pastor. Right? We saw examples in scriptures. We're going to look at believers' authority very soon. However, we saw examples of the woman called Miriam, who was a prophetess, and Aaron. And what happened? They dishonored Moses. And what happened? Leprosy. We saw a man called Gehazi dishonored Elisha. What happened? Leprosy. You can say that's Old Testament writings. It's easy to say that the Old Testament writings. Until we saw dishonor with Peter and Ananias and Sapphira. And what happened? Right? As Peter spoke, they fell down, they died. That's dishonor. Yeah? Now, I've been saying something very recently. Don't, because you are taught you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, now put yourself in dangerous way, thinking you can reconcile yourself back afterwards. That's why sometimes when you are upset, the best thing for you to do is keep short if you don't know what to say. Sometimes you will know what to say, but you don't know how to say it. Keep short. Because words that are spoken cannot be gotten back. Let me tell you something. You can dishonor a man, another human being, and the man will forgive you. But the words you said, they pierce the heart. Yeah, and that is why the Christian faith, I was teaching on Wednesday, the Christian faith comes with forgiveness and reconciliation. Remember that? Yeah, if you offend me, I don't just say I forgive you, and when you are coming through this road, I go through this road. No, that is not the Christian forgiveness, right? Because the forgiveness that Jesus supplies by the resurrection is forgiveness that comes with reconciliation. However, if I'm pro-reconciliation and you are anti-reconciliation, nothing can be done. I cannot force you. Altogether, I can't force you. So it means that by default, we need to try as much as possible. So Paul would tell to Onesimus or to Philemon, Onesimus offended you, but take him as a brother for my name's sake. And Paul will be so sure. Imagine Paul being sure of his disciple. I know that you will walk in love towards him. Imagine. Let me tell you something. Imagine Sister Aramide offends me, right? And we go our separate ways. No, let me do it differently. I am Paul. You are Philemon. You are Onesimus. You offend her and you ran away. On your journey to run away, you meet me. I get you saved and disciple. You come born again. You now gist me about what happened. Because there's no how you telephone me to tell me. So you now gist me about what happened. And I disciple you for a few weeks. And I say, trust Sister Amide. She's a solid disciple. She will take you back. Yes, what now happens? I did not now use DHL to send a letter to Sister Amide ahead of your journey to her. You know I can send email. Brother John is coming. Prepare your heart. What did Paul do? Paul said, Brother John, take the letter to Sister Amide. So it means at the point when she will see him, nothing has persuaded her except the word of God and the love of God. And Paul will allow him to deliver the letter to her. And the letter, Paul will say, I know you will do the word. What an assurance. Are you like that, dear saints? Don't be that one who, your pastor is sure that you cannot forgive. Maybe Brother Abel carries out to me that Brother John offended him. And I said, what did you do with this? Okay, so you cannot forgive. Let bygone be. Imagine, you know, believers like that. That's what I always tell you. How I know your heart towards me is mostly when I see how you are corrected and your response to correction. Altogether, right? There's some people like this. You correct somebody. This was years ago. You correct some people the way they will talk back to you like this. You will think, ah. So next time when the person you that you are the one correcting somebody, you say, I'm sorry. Next time when the person do something like that, just like you don't see it. Just act like you don't see it. Because I have to guard myself. Before somebody beats me, they can beat me and apologize later. What will I do? Forgive and recall. But if my heart is so low, are we together? So, you know, relationships are so important. So important. I told you, let me say it again. Right? So you see Peter, yes, you say he's just growing spiritually. But Peter will talk, and the words of Peter will create fear in the hearts of Safira and Ananias. What will happen? Ananias will die. Safira, and what did they do? They lied, though. You know, there was no instruction in the Bible that says, go and sell your house. See, if I come to that as a pastor, say, all of you, go and sell your property and bring the money, let's feed the poor. If you go and sell your property, and you bring the money, and I instructed, bring everything. Do you understand? If you don't bring everything, there should be a problem. But if I didn't instruct you at all, it is your decision to sell your house, your decision to bring the money. What the Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says they connived with themselves. Say, you know, this house was 20 million pounds. You give Peter. You might not call our name. So people will not really know us. So we lose two ways. Yes, ma'am. Because some people give so that they can win one way, so that people know them. That's okay. Anything that makes you want to be given a local church, I want everybody to identify your name. Yeah? Imagine we always print the list of people who give. Once you don't come to church, I check your name there. Is your name there? You better make sure it's there next week or you're in trouble. Do you understand? And Ananias will go there with confidence. My problem with those kind of things are, see, may that thing that will make you lie to your pastor not enter your heart. May not enter your heart. So Ananias will go and lie with confidence, forgetting that the man is lying to the spirit-filled man who can discern. See, I've been in my life. My wife would look at me one of those days and say, how do you stand face-to-face with people lying at you or lying to you and you don't flinch? I don't move. Yeah? It's because I believe the best of people. I always believe the best of people. You know? But sometimes, just imagine the person you are lying to as someone who is discerning, especially if you are dealing with a believer. Peter is one of the examples that shows us where he not allow his discerning to be in his pocket. Do you understand? Another pastor can say, I'm discerning, but don't worry, you lied to me right now, it's okay, I forgive you more. But Peter will say, you lied. So Ananias will go with his full chest and say, well, we sold that property 20 million pounds, and we sold that property 10 million pounds, and this is everything. Please, Peter, pray for us. We are giving our all. All I have is given to me by my Lord. You know that song? And Peter will give it. And Peter will say, what? How much did you sell the property for? He says, it's 10 million, sir. You know, Peter gave himself a second opportunity to restitute. Like when someone is asking you again, they say, I'm sorry. But some people, the moment they press the throttle like this, it is to the last one. Ah, what is it? See,
teeth.
There's nothing wrong in lying. No, no, don't hear no. Please don't forgive me. All of you that hear me, like, I'm joking. No. No, no. How do I say this now? You know what I want to say? Eh? Okay. When you lie, let me say it differently. When you lie the first time, the believer in you, the spirit of God in you, don't suppress the spirit of God in you. But because for every time you lie once, the spirit of God is nudging your heart to correct yourself. Yeah. So when you lie the first time, don't silence the voice. Don't silence the voice. Are we together? Of the spirit of God in you. You get that? So in your mind, you see a lot of people, they will lie the first time, but in their minds, they're analyzing everything. I lied, they must not catch me. Because people feel like it is better for them not to be caught because they consistently lie than to apologize for lying once. Right? So they lie the first time. My friend knows, did you or did you not say anything? Yes, so I can show you my bank statement. And the Bible did not give us the record of what Peter said. But the record we have is that just like Gehazi, the difference is that that leprosy can be healed. The difference is that leprosy, you still have breath. The Bible says, as Peter spoke, they fell. Don't focus on what Peter said. I told you, whatever Peter did, he could have done better. Because the same Peter, look, can you see where love comes in? The same Peter who did that thing to Ananias is the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Mm-hmm. Oh, you are seeing it now. You see? Yeah, we are. That's that thing that makes you feel like you can. Can you take? You know, I was saying something to someone. I said, if your pastor prays for you and says, "May you experience men like yourself in your life," will you say amen? Don't answer. Go home and ponder. If your pastor experiences people like you, if I say, "May you experience men like you," will you jump and say amen? Right? So Peter was one who denied Jesus. It was how many years after? Look at it now. When this narrative of Ananias and Sapphira dying happened, it was just post-resurrection now. Jesus talked for 40 days. There are done believers meeting. People that came into the day of Pentecost were around. And before you know it, they were saying, well, people need houses to stay. And what happened? Sister Sapphira. Because they were believers. Sister Sapphira will come. And she'll be dancing. Unfortunately, no telegram. There was no TikTok. Because if it was TikTok by that time, they would have videoed as Ananias fell down. And they'll say POV. Are we together? They say POV. What you get when you lie to a pastor. Are we together? So the wife would have gotten memo. I will not go to church. You know, if she had not gone to church, she probably wouldn't have died the way she died. There's every tendency. Because it was her now coming to church, now emphasizing life. Peter said, and Peter didn't even allow her to talk. Peter just said, They said you sold that property this time. I said, yes, sir. Ah. Said, Peter. And what did Peter say? He says, the leg of the man. This is post-resurrection reality, yo. Are we together? Yeah, we're not advocates for killing people and all those kind of things. What I'm trying to say to you is that people, do you assume that Peter grew now? Was there any encounter like that again he had? No, now. Peter grew. Do you understand? Peter grew up. But don't put yourself in that position where you cannot. So you say the men that buried your husband. Look at them there. What a way to say your husband is dead. I probably see that she heard this word, she fell down, and she gave up the ghost. I was together, right? And I tell you, see, no matter how strong you are in your Christian faith, yeah, don't think because you have learned Christian reality, you go and just be upsetting people, especially those who God has a call upon their life, into responsibilities. I beg you in God's name. I beg in God's name. I'm not saying this because I told you on Wednesday, I may not pastor all of you for the rest of your lives. Yeah? There's every tendency some of you will move out of the country or have so many reasons, get a job or whatever it is. But whoever your pastor is, that sense of honor you give, no matter your ex-pastor, your old pastor, your former pastor, your future pastor, when it comes to honor, like I always tell you, when men and women are talking about pastors, carry your load and leave them, or you carry their load and send them, one or the other. Why? Because when the devil allowed that to happen, it's not as much about the man you are discussing. It's about your own man. Before you know it, you start looking at the lens. They say, a pastor did this to that person. Before you know it, you start saying, could Pastor Joshua, could you really do that thing? I don't trust anybody. Yeah, that's the goal of that conversation. So, as people have conversation with me, they say, that pastor did this. Oh yeah, there's a Greek word called alele. You know the Greek word alele? Yeah? Pack your load and what? Go. I have a long journey to go in ministry. I have a long journey to go. As I always tell you, when your pastor offends you, who do you speak to? Your pastor. The moment you speak to the wrong person about the right thing, you've done the wrong thing. Did you get that? The moment you speak to the wrong person about the right thing, in quotes, you've done the wrong thing. You know, so keep your heart in a place where you honor God's men. Keep your heart in a place where you honor God's men. Don't just behave anyhow. Don't just act anyhow. Are we together? Yeah? So we're going to start looking at that from today. Oh, time has gone. All right. So let's go all the way to Judges. Let's go to Judges. Judges 21. So I've done a quick recap for you all. Right? Don't be cutting people off anyhow. Small thing, they just told you something, you have blocked. Small thing, they just told you something, you have unfollowed and blocked. Yeah? No, don't always be like that. Don't be like that. You don't know who God will use for you. And you're not the one that will always determine. Where did I say you should go to? Okay, sorry, Judges. Judges chapter 21. Okay? That's just before Ruth, yeah? So Judges 21 verse 25. See what it says there. In those days, there was no king in what? Israel. I told you, anytime you are looking for any of those books, go to the table of contents. Judges 21, 25. Yeah? Judges 21, 25. Are we there now? Yes, so let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own way. You see that? What is that? Lack of order. Do you know that something that is right is relative to people? You know?
Yeah.
Rights can be relative to people. So what was happening? Another way to read that is there was no order among the Israelites. So people did their rights. You know, in our world, we now call something called my truth. How many of you know my truth? Yeah? This is my truth, and I stand with my truth. Are we together? Why do you think nations come up with laws that are steady? If you do this, it is wrong, you get this. Because people begin to explain things away. So the Bible says, there was no king in Israel, and on account of that, there are people did things in their own way. So today, from today going forward, we're going to be looking at the concept of order in the local church. Right? Order in the local church. There needs to be order. God's plan has always been to establish order amongst the saints, amongst the believers. Yeah, there needs to be order. Now, like I've told you before, not everybody will be a leader in the local church. Not everybody will be a pastor in the local church. Now, there's going to be a relationship that exists between saints and saints and saints and pastor. So if there will be a need for a leader in Israel, what will the need of the leader be? Or what is the goal for their having a leader? So that people will do the right things and people will not do things right in their own eyes. Are you following today? So there's a relationship that exists amongst all saints. Now, from today, I'm going to teach you how to relate with your pastor. Yeah? I've never taught this in years, you know, but I've taught it in several bits and portions, but I'm going to teach it from today into the next few weeks. How to relate or how to treat your relationship with your pastor. We want to look at it from the Bible way. Let's start from Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible way, how to relate with your pastor. How to follow your pastor. How to follow your leader. And whatever I'm teaching you today applies to any local church you find yourself in the future. How do you relate with your pastor? Who is your pastor to you? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You know, some of us, we've gone to that place right now because we are taught that the Spirit of God in my pastor, the Spirit of God in me, we feel like our pastors and we in the Christian faith are, you know, on the same path. But that's not what the Bible teaches. There's leadership, and that leadership comes to sort out order. So look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Are we together? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Are you there?
Yes,
sir. It says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Look at verse 10. He that descended is the same also that what? Ascended up far above all what? Heavens. That he might fill all things. Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3. Go. Ephesians 4, 11. 1, 2, 3. Go. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, the word there, some in the Greek, is the word M-E-N. That word there, some in the Greek, is the word M-E-N. So it's men in English, but in the Greek is men. Same thing. Yeah? And the word just really means certainly, truly, or indeed. Certainly, truly, indeed, or actually. Or, certainly, truly, or indeed. We can use that for now. Are we here? So now, some of us actually think that when it comes to this scripture, what the scripture is saying that he gave, are you looking at me? He gave some apostles. Then he gave some pastors. Then he gave some evangelists. So amongst us, we have some pastors, some teachers. No, but that's not what he's teaching there, right? What is being taught here is ministry gifts. Know that. Ministry gifts / ministry offices. Ministry gifts / ministry offices. We're going to look at that in the future. I've been promising this for like 5 years now. Yeah? So, ministry gifts, ministry offices. So, it is a man that will function as an apostle. A man will function as, and they are all a call to service. Yeah, in the Eastern world, when you see their use of the meaning of apostle, you know in our world, like now me, I first started as brother. You know, I start gathering like 50 people. What happened? I go to work, pastor. Then I now gather like 150. No. Reverend. After Reverend, I now go to Reverend is not even here. We'll look at Reverend. What's the next one? Most Reverend. The after Most Reverend, there's Most Holy. Then what happened? I said Apostle. Then there's now Senior Apostle. So we keep thinking the more number of people, then who are evangelists? They are those that know how to shout on mic. Is that an evangelist? In your mind, they don't know what you think evangelist is. Nine. God is waiting for you. And then the ones that do it in the open, under our canopy, or open air crusade, evangelist Joshua Yusuf. Then those that talk, and you see, the cycle of the friend. Determine the circumference of your life. Oh my goodness. You know, with low words, you need the motivational words. Sister, how are you? My apostle, prophet. Is a prophet the one at Qatar Church? You know, prophet is the one that see. Prophet, professor, yes, papa. Yeah, I see. The mother is this. The father is this. The father is this. Yes, papa. Okay. The uncle is this. So what about the uncle? Did he tell you he did not know? Yeah, I always tell you, the things of the spirit is for edification. So some of us believe that there are some of us that are also, some people say, me, I'm a prophet, though. I'm not an evangelist. Do your work. Or some now begin to say, those that are pastor are not to the level of prophets. Because Bible says that whatever God will do in the land, he reveals through to his what? His prophet. So probably I'd want that close that says Prophet Joshua Yusuf. And I put beside the JP. You know JP, right? You don't know JP? JP, anybody you see with the name JP, he means Jerusalem Pilgrim. If you go, there are people who their names is they have JP, is a title. Once you land in Jerusalem like this, you become JP. So you come to Joshua Yusuf with the bracket JP. Then those that have gone 5 times, that's 5. JP 5 or 5 JP. Do you think there are some equation? No, I'm actually very serious. So there's somebody I met one day and introduced himself. My name is Mr. I won't mention his name, Mr. So and so. No, that was evangelist. Evangelist so and so JP in brackets. Yeah. Do you understand? So we believe that and that's I remember so when I started pastoring, someone reached out to me and said, Now that you've taken over his office, why will you visit Jerusalem? He said, there's an anointing. You want me to go to the rock where Jesus prayed? Come be baptized in the River Jordan. See, anything that makes you go to Jerusalem is only for pilgrimage. It's only for tourism. Yeah, the new journey is you go to where Jesus prayed. Yeah, if I didn't have money, how will I get there? I'll be trekking. Yeah, there's a lady that is doing from UK to Lagos. I should join now. I'll carry my car. I'm going to rent a car. I'll be running because I have to go and look at where they nailed Jesus to the cross. No, Christ is in my heart. I want to get that. So if you go to Jerusalem, it doesn't make you a more fervent Christian. If some people go to Jerusalem, they will say, that's where David did that. You say, who is David? Believer, who is David? Of all people. Yeah, so he says that he gave certainly apostles. So it means part of the gift of the resurrection is the gift of the office of the apostle, the office of the pastor and teacher. What is their goal in verse 12? Let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So your goal as an apostle, a pastor, evangelist is to what? Equip the saints. I like the translation that says equip. Equip the saints. That's what perfect the saints. For what? For the work of ministry. My job as your pastor is not to teach you how to make money. Are we together? As your pastor, because I'm in the secular world, I can know how to make money. When I'm giving you that counsel on how to make money, it is what? A business career counsel. But my so if your pastor, so look at it, if you're a pastor by someone like me who is very career driven and likes to make money, and I knows how to make money, right? If you relocate, for instance, or you get another pastor, and your pastor doesn't do that part of what I used to do, do not think he's less of a pastor. Did you get that? Because as long as what his work is doing is to train you for the work of ministry. Ministry, you know, some of us we like to play. You know, I have comedy ministry. You know, I'm a gospel comedian. Yeah, I'm a gospel comedian. One of these will look at the narratives of gospel comedian, gospel artist, gospel. We won't have gospel actors. Act your act. Do your thing. Make your money. If you want to be a comedian, nothing wrong in being a comedian. But don't joke and play and crack jokes with things of the spirit, things of the word. And we come to comedians. Who patronizes gospel comedians? It's not church. Comedian will just come and say, you see, and the pastor just say, take it! And people just fail. And somebody's holding his phone. And you'll be laughing. You'll be touching the floor. You'll be laughing. You'll laugh at the floor. They are laughing about the things of the spirit. Yeah? That's why a lot of times people like that, they find it difficult to receive from the spirit. They find it difficult to receive the supernatural. They find it difficult to receive the miraculous. Because you've laughed about it. Anybody that is joking about tongues, yeah, your comedy is to be laughing, is to be forming pastor and to be laughing about tongues. And to be doing everything you want to act is face fake pastor with fake tongues. Yeah, and you too, you'll be watching, you'll be like, no, they are targeting you. That's the devil. They are targeting you. One day you'll just be I know people who were fervently praying in tongues that 5 years ago today, they are fighting tongues. The tongues ended with the apostles. So the question is, the one you spoke for those number of years before your rhema unveiled. You know, people forget easily. Why? Because they allow those very minor things to go. It starts from a conversation. That's why you guard your heart as much as possible. So the goal of the pastor, your prophet, or whatever, is to train you for the work of ministry. It says for the edifying of the body of Christ. What is edifying? The word there edifying is the word oikodomeo. I'll just tell you the word in the English. It's the word that means to build. Does that relate to Matthew 16? I will build my church. So it's a word oikodomeo that means to build. So the edifying of the body of Christ is the building of the body of Christ. And it tells you what the goal is in verse 13. Till we all come in the what? Unity of faith. Till we all come in the unity of faith. What is unity of faith? Unity of faith does not mean that church in God's palace and members of God's peace place downstairs. They'll be playing football in town sports. Yeah, we come together and do one joint love feast. All the churches in Edinburgh come together and do one joint love feast. That's good. But that's not what Paul is teaching. Unity of faith is around. It tells you what unity of faith is. It says, till we all come in the unity of faith that is of the knowledge of the Son of God. So that verse 14, we are henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried by every wind of doctrine. So your pastor, your prophet, your apostle, those that work in those offices are to make you what? What's the word Sister Vim used?
Equip,
yeah? They are to equip you. They are to equip you. So when you come to church, you are coming to a church based on how, on you must have a mindset of being trained. So how do you pick a church? You pick a church based on how trained you will be from the church. You know a very carnal believer that picks a church based on praise and worship. Yeah, I just like there's one brother in that church. If he remove his style like this, he will dance and you will forget yourself. Yeah, it's good. It's okay to have that. But the importance of your pastor, your local church, is for training. That's why we train ourselves the way we do. That's why when you come to church, you don't just come to church with your hand in your pocket and just truly. You come with your Bible. You come with your writing materials. Why? Because you take notes. You can't listen to someone like me for an hour, 30 minutes, and be able to regurgitate. Is that the word? Let me use the smaller English. And that's what I want to use, something like that. What? Regurgitate. Thank you, sister. Yeah? You can't listen to me for an hour, 30 minutes, and be able to regurgitate what I taught you for 1 hour, 30 minutes. You get that? Right? So, you must be able to see your local. So, if for any reason you relocate out of this country or you're looking for another local church or whatever the case might be, are there equipping people there? Are there equipping people there? Equipping for what? For the work of ministry. How do they place importance on teaching? How do they place importance on soul winning? Soul winning is not the same as sharing coffee. Are we together? Soul winning is not the same as your children should be dancing on the street of Princess Street. You put speaker here, you allow your children to be dancing and be attractive people. That's not soul winning. Are we together? Yeah? You see, that can be used as a means, even though it's not scriptural. However, the most important thing you do that will be referred to as soul winning is how do you converse and teach one to be saved? How do you converse and teach one the need for equipping? Are we together? So, look at what Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. And it was what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he what? He was moved with compassion on them because they what? They fainted. And they were what? Scattered abroad as? Are we here? They were scattered abroad as what? Sheep that have no shepherd. Then said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous, but the laborers are few. What do you say in verse 31 to 3? Go. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. So what was Jesus saying when he saw people? They were like sheep having no shepherd. Is that similar to Judges 21? There was no king in Israel and everyone did everything that was right in their eye. So Jesus, now, do you think Jesus got this on his brain from the Bruce? No, look at Numbers. It's Numbers, Moses spoke about it. Numbers chapter 27. Numbers 27, verse 16 to 21. So I'm going to read a lot of scriptures in the next few minutes before we close, okay? Numbers 27, verse 16 to 21. So this is Moses. And Moses spake verse 15 unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, in verse 16, Numbers 27, let the Lord, the God of all spirits of all flesh, set a man over the what? Congregation. Are you there? Numbers 27, verse 16. So what is Moses asking for? That God should set a man over the congregation. That means for every congregation, there should be a man over. Imagine we came to church and all of us were all pastors. And all of us were the ones that can minister. That would happen. Everybody would just first of all sit. Then they will play keyboards more. Then they will say, let he who is led to teach us today stand up and go forward. And what happened? But it will just come. Or maybe 10 people will come at the same time. Doesn't work that way. why should there be structure in the church? God is a God of order. There needs to be order in the local assembly. So Moses will say among the congregation, God set a man over the congregation. Look at what he said. Look at the reason in verse 17. Which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them about, and which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord be not as what? Be not as what? Sheep which have no shepherd. Is that similar to what Jesus saw? So what is the solution to sheep, people who look like sheep without shepherd? Moses says, set a man over the congregation. So in a local church, there is a man that is to be followed. Are we together? Yet the man that is to be followed might have or should have other men that can be followed. I'm going to show you the reason today. But there is the man. So we don't just, see, we would have conversations. Yeah, there should be a man. That's why in your company, you don't have 20 CEOs. When you're in a meeting and everybody is talking, this is my idea. Everybody has an idea in this world. Even though that the idea doesn't have idea. Everybody has what they want to say in this world. I feel we should do it this way. I feel we should do it this way. So what is the need for a one-man leader? Is you say, okay, I think I've sampled what you said. For instance, the Christian faith has to be, what does the world say? So we pick your suggestion based on what does the world say. What are the closest stories to that narrative that can show us an example to follow? All together. That's why after church, we didn't just say we're going for evangelism. Brother John will say, I feel like we should go to Prince Street. Sister Esther will say, I feel like we should go towards Glasgow. Then Brother Kyle will say, I feel like the Lord is pressing my heart to go to Manchester. Do you understand? Do you understand? You'll not start looking for. Right? So what is need for your leader at that position? Okay, we all go to Manchester. And if it's Manchester, we all go to. That is why the leader you must have as your pastor must be someone you can listen to. If you cannot listen, go on for another one. You see, if you have a doctor, and doctor say, if you take this drug 2 times a day, if you don't want to hear, what do you do? Go for another hospital. You believe for the miraculous. Me! All together. Right? So he says, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd. Look at verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. You know who Joshua is? Amen. So Moses said to the Lord said to Moses, So Moses is a set man. And Moses, the set man, is appointing another set man. Are you seeing? There is pastor to pastors in the local church. There is leader to leaders in the local church. So God will say to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun. What does God say about Joshua the son of Nun? A man in whom is the spirit. What did he say to Moses? And lay thy hands upon him. You see, laying on of hands. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 34, sorry. 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. I'm going to look at this in the coming days. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Are you here? And who? Are you there? Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Did something happen to Joshua when hands were laid?
Yes.
Does something happen when hands are laid?
Yes.
So this is, we're looking at it from the writers of scriptures, then we'll go into the epistles. The Bible says that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. You know that word therefore? Another word for is what? Because. Isn't that true? Joshua was full of wisdom, or spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid hands on him. When did Moses lay hands on him? Numbers. Go back to Numbers, okay? So God asked Moses to lay hands on him. So, if anyone was to lay hands on anyone among the congregation, who would do it? Moses. He had that responsibility. So Moses was their pastor. For Joshua to be able to lay hands, you know, Moses will lay hands. Moses has to give him that office. Moses has to be the one to dispense the authority to him to minister that way. Do you understand? Now, let me ask you a question. Could Joshua have laid hands on other people in the believer setting? Yes, now. Mark 16. This time shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, and what? They shall speak in new tongues, and they shall lay hands on the sick. So every saint can lay hands. But there's a difference between the saints laying hand and the set man laying hands. They're different. altogether. So Moses laid hands on Moses by instruction. And what now happened? Verse 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and gave him a charge in their sight. Altogether. You will notice a lot of times when hands are laid, words are spoken alongside. We'll look at that in the coming days. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him. You see that? So Moses will confer some of his honor. So it means that when Moses will lay hands on Joshua, it means that Joshua can now do some things on behalf of Moses. Are you following? Joshua could now do some things. So Joshua could govern some affairs on behalf of Moses. The honor that the congregation will give Joshua is what they should have given Moses. Or is what they will ideally give Moses. Are you following? Yeah, the honor. Because, you know, when it comes to giving responsibilities, and I'm teaching you this thing for a reason. You know, we started building ourselves. Yeah? And I'll show you why we are doing church that way. Look at verse 20. And thou shalt put some of the honor upon him that all the congregation of children may what? Be obedient to him. Is that true? And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, whom shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the what? Congregation. What did Moses do in verse 22? And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. And what did Moses do? And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. What did Jeremy now tell you? Because hands were laid. Let me tell you something about laying out of hands. It's not our teaching today, but we'll touch it in the next few weeks. You see, there are days in my life when hands are laid on me, and I mark those days. There are things of the Spirit I begin to operate with in a new level, and for lack of a better word, new dimension. And I can trace it to the day hands were laid on me by so and so. Things happen when hands are laid on. Things happen when hands are laid. Yeah? One of my reasons for going to Nigeria this coming weekend is for hands to be laid on me. Yeah? So the mission I'm going for, I've gone there every year in almost 6 years for hands to be laid on me. Right? Because I function better when hands, specific hands, are laid on me. Right? So why have I not laid hands in God's palace on us? Yeah? So people in Nigeria church will enjoy Rikin do more. Because they have been taught over the years, right? And they know the essence as much. So I decided to keep it away for a while, right? Because I needed to teach it. Just so that from the moment you start getting hands laid on you, you know how to function going forward. Yeah? But trust me, April, I'll lay hands on you all together. Right? So, I'm going to be equipped. So, as I'm leaving the UK in the next couple days, I'm not coming back the same. Yeah? I'm coming back as a man who has received the hand of God on my head. Yeah? So, look at that. Yeah? So, Moses laid hands on Moses. Right, and he laid hands on Moses, and what he gave him a charge. Go back to Numbers 11 before then. Numbers 11. We looked at sheep without shepherd, and that was the reason for that. In Numbers, look at Numbers 11 as well. Numbers 11, 16. Numbers 11, verse 16. Let's have a quick read here. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of who? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Yes. All right. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and offices over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with what thee. And I will come down, verse 17, and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon them, and I will put it upon them. Oh, no. I'll take of the spirit which is upon you, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of people with thee, and thou bear it not thyself alone. Is that cell structure?
Yeah.
You're seeing it right? So what is the reason for cell in the local church? So that one man doesn't bear the burden of all. So it means as you are seeing your pastor you are seeing an example of how you pastor others if and when you become a pastor. Are you following? Because as the church grows, I cannot have equal relationship with you all. The people that will be closer to me will be those who are leaders. And I'll be close to everyone as well, but cannot be as close. So why will I be close to leaders? So that the leaders can see how pastoring is done. Then they can replicate that pastoring oversight towards their various selves. Are you following? Yeah, because God sees the entire earth saved. So it means God sees people in their multitude.
I cannot afford to be the only one that is doing everything in the local church. Are we together? Right? Sometimes I'll be sleeping in the middle of the night, my phone will ring at 2 a.m. A few weeks ago, I was in a conversation with someone all the way from Nigeria, 2 a.m. in the middle of a serious battle. 2 a.m. Interesting, me, I usually put my phone on silent. All together. I pick up calls up until 12. But 12 upwards, I put myself on my phone on silent. Interestingly, my phone was not on silent. Thankfully for that person, actually, that day. Yeah, I've had conversations where I speak to you from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. I've had 4 hours conversations with people trying to just tackle things. I will burn out if I did for so many people. So you would have an oversight where if you have an issue, you would trust the leader you have right in front of you to be able to handle it. And you reach out to him or reach out to her. And what you would have gotten from me, you should get from them. You get that? So Moses will now kick out 70 men. What will he say in verse 18? And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have gotten the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall what? Eat. Look at verse 21. And Moses said, the people among who I am are 600,000 footmen. Yeah? 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flock and the herd be slain for them to suffice them, or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, it is the Lord's hand wax, is the Lord's hand wax shut. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 what? Men of elders. So it means, why was Moses gathering 70 men? To have oversight over how many thousand? 600,000. Is that true? You understand that? Right. So Moses gathered 70 men, verse 24. And he set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they what? They prophesied and did not cease. But they remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them and they were of them that were written, but were not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, 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 Moses! Eleadad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. What did Moses and Joshua the son of and Joshua verse 28, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses forbid them. What did Moses say in verse 29? Envious thou for my sake, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them? Joel spoke about this as well, right? I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Altogether, verse 30, and Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel, and they went forth away from the Lord and brought quails in the sea. So you can keep going on and on the narrative. So it is God's plan that all men are saved. It is God's plan that men will reach men, but one man cannot reach all men. Did you get that? See, there will always be different local churches in the world. And I can put it to you, your local church is not the best. For there is no best local. Are we together? It is so when men gather together on account of local church, it is God's will, it's God's idea. Yeah, don't fall for the devilish trap of saying, I worship God in my bedroom, I worship God in my living room. I always tell you, the media space is to enhance, it's not God's very best. Are we together? Why do you have to see? You know, when I teach online, I'm seated in one place. You know that if you've listened to me for 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever, you know that if I asked you to teach, you would have my gesticulations. I look at our YouTube page one of those days and I realize that every video had my hand either like this or like this or like this. I'm like, must I use my hand? But really, really truly, the only way I learned how to use my hand is by watching my pastor. So there's a lot of things that you cannot learn online. Altogether, we'll be meetings, for instance, you will see how I correct people. You will learn how to correct people. You will see how I administer the things of the Spirit. You will learn, you will watch, you learn. That is God's will. That men will see physical evidence and an example to follow suit. The problem with our generation is we want to always be unique. Are we together? Right? Pastor says Jesus is Lord. I say, I don't want people to feel like I'm listening to pastor, I'm hearing from pastor. So what do you call? Jesus, though yet is Lord, is Savior and King of the universe.
Jesus yet to. Jesus yet to is Lord, is Savior. Why? Because you want to sound unique. Do you understand? You want to sound, and sometimes when you are, you know, that uniqueness is not, uniqueness that we see in this world is not what is not found in scripture. Okay. So when you see that minister things of the spirit, when you see me give utterance, I saw it somewhere. We are all product of influence. Even people that say, no, I don't follow man. That person heard it from another man. No. I don't follow man. It didn't come from your head, you heard it from another man. I do not follow the man now. You are not following me. I'm not following my dad. No. I have a direct relationship and communion with my papa. Abina, yeah, you saw it somewhere. And they ask people to go for it. The Bible says, let no man teach you. How can the Bible say, let no man teach you? And the man that is saying is a man. And man not taught you. I'm not shot yourself on the leg. Man just taught you that let no man teach you. And you received it. You know, when Jesus was talking about let no man teach you, was talking about a people. Not man should not teach you. Right? Another scripture we use in 1 John or so, he says, for the anointing of the Lord is upon me, no, I don't need any man to teach me. For the Spirit knoweth all, that nothing can teach me all things. And he went to nursery school to learn how to read. And he went to university. After university, he went to master's. Then you PhD. Then you got the fourth PhD. Why didn't the anointing teach you? Imagine anointing is teaching me and I just have certificate in my room. So as soon as I just finish the anointing class, it's only good to just say the certificate is upstairs. Go and check it on the roof. And they say I went to the anointed school of the Most High. No, men will always be God's method. And we're together. So it's God's plan that all men are saved. Not one man can read the entire world. Even Jesus, when he came, he had to have men. Is that not true? He had men. So, Moses was a man, and Moses had 70 elders. Is that true? Then in Moses' 70 elders, Moses had one Joshua. Are we here? There are 70. What about Jesus? Jesus, the Savior of the universe. Jesus had 120. Then he had 70. Then he had what? 12. Then he had what? 3. Then he had what? 1. Who is the one? Peter. It's God's will. It's God's pattern. It's God's structure. I always tell you, there are people in my life I will never reach. But you will reach them. But let me ask you, how will I preach to somebody in your office? Everyone there, I'll carry my Bible to your gate. I just come there and say, I want to preach to everybody here. Why are you in that office? And you come to the local church, you learn, then you take the word there. Don't be the one when your pastor wants to come and visit in your office. I say, no, there's a sister like this. Oh, I'm a pastor. What's her name? Oh, she's a Christian. And you know, she's a Christian is enough in itself. Now, people cannot look at you and say, I asked you, are you a Christian? Is there something? Because why? You behave like everybody. Yeah? Do you know there's something called office politics? Should a Christian do office politics? No. Resurrection reality. No. Glory to your lamp. There's Christian politics. In case you don't tell them outside, I do office politics. What is office politics? Right? Office politics involves you do a work in 10 minutes. You show them as if it's three years work. I'm dropping it. That's how you're laughing. That's your first laugh I'm hearing today. I'm the chief office politician. Okay? They give you a work, you finish it in one day, but you make it look like, and you're dropping it in bits and portion. What is that? Say it's wisdom. Say wisdom. That's wisdom. But there's a way to do office politics the God way. Are we here? There's a way. Office politics does not involve, they give you a contract, they say write the check. They write the number on the check, you put one more zero. They say they should pay the money to so and so account. You first collect the money from the office account into your personal account with surplus. You say it's fee charge. Extra fee, what do you call it? Fee. Admin fee. Then you now send from your accounts to the people that need to say, but you've received your fee. You understand? So, in the real sense, I will not reach all men, but there are men who you would reach. Look at 1 Kings 22. First Kings 22. First Kings 22, verse 16. So what did Jesus see? Sheep having no shepherd. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. First Kings 22, verse 17. As what? As sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them what? Return every man to his house in what? In peace. And the king of Israel said unto who? Jehoshaphat. Did I not tell thee that thou prophesying no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner and another said on another manner. And there came forth a spirit. Are we together? Came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith and he I will go forth. You can keep reading all of that. And verse 23. Now therefore, behold, the Lord had put up a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord had spoken evil concerning thee. Right? So you see that there is a need for a shepherd, a leader, one who provides guidance. So the question becomes, who is your pastor? Right? So who is your pastor? You know, having an understanding of who your pastor is will help you in your relationship with your pastor. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah 3, 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Look at the prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. 3:14, okay? Are we there? It says, turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to where? Zion. To Zion. Is that the work of the resurrection? Is that the work of the resurrection? Yeah, that's work of salvation now. I will bring thee into what? Zion. What will that happen in Zion? Verse 15, 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Look at verse 15, 1, 2, 3, go. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Lord, they shall no more the ark of covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall it remember it, neither shall it visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. And that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Lord Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their own evil heart. Look at 18 together, 1, 2, 3, go. In those days of the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I will be giving to an inheritance unto your fathers. Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shall not turn away from me. Are you here? Right? You know, we've looked at that, for I have a goodly heritage. Yeah? Now, this is actually a continuation from chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Jeremiah 2, verse 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? Are they that handle the Lord knew not me? The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not what? Profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with the Lord, says the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. So there are two types of pastor. Is that true? There's the pastor that is spoken about in Jeremiah 2, verse 8, and there's the pastor according to the heart of the Lord. Is that true? Jeremiah 3, verse 18. What is the goal of the pastor according to the will of God in verse 15? He shall feed you. So who's your pastor? Your pastor is the one that feeds you. Yeah? He shall feed you. He shall feed you. From Ephesians chapter 4, we saw that your pastor is the one that what equips you. Is that true? Equips for the work of ministry. So your pastor feeds you. In feeding you, he is equipping you. Your pastor is the one who leads you, who guides you, who trains you, who instructs you, and who scolds you, and who corrects you. Please note this. Your pastor is the one who leads you. In the Christian faith, he guides you, he trains you, he equips you, he instructs you, He scolds you and he corrects you. So your pastor should be able to do all of this to you. Your pastor should be able to lead you. Your pastor should be able to guide you. Your pastor should be able to train you. Your pastor should be able to equip you. Your pastor should be able to give you an instruction. Your pastor should be able to correct you and to scold you. Are we together? Let me tell you something. We all need that man that will correct us. We all need that man that will scold us. Right? Now, a lot, you know, scolding is not palatable. How many of you wake up every morning and just say, I just love being scolded? It's my nature. No. Yeah? A lot of times, the scolding might not come as expected. And I always give the example. You give birth to your child starts crawling. And the first 1 week of your child crawling, your iron is on, plugged in. You quickly put on the iron, and you quickly went to go and bring a shirt you want to iron. And as you are walking back into the room, you see your child already holding the wire, the cable of the iron. Say, oh, baby, it's not for you. Will you leave there? I'm telling you, the baby, will you leave there? Will you leave there? And the iron is on. You know, it's not somebody left the iron on. You put on the iron to go and bring your shirt. Will you? Is that what you do? You can't do that now. Yeah? That is the same way people throw. So now imagine your baby now responds. Are we not? Right? And ask you why? Because the way you spoke to me. No way. Hallelujah. But why did you do that? Why would you act that way in correcting him? Is it not love? Hebrews will tell you, no correction and scolding is pleasant or always pleasant to your heart. The Lord chastises those he loves. Now, whilst your pastor can or should learn the attitude and the mode of correcting you with the best of voices and best of tones, but not every time will you get the best of voices and best of tones. That's the honest truth. Not every time. All together. Even Paul, we want to correct. Let's move on Jesus. Jesus will look at the saints and they will be in unbelief. And he will say, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. He will look at Jesus, the love being. Jesus is love personified. He will say, oh, ye vipers and adulterous generation. Brother Jesus. Who am I? Yeah, Paul will say, oh, foolish and Galatia. You start from chapter 3, oh, foolish Galatia. Are you so foolish? You will remind them. No, that's not a call to be saying everybody, just everybody foolish. So, oh, because Paul, no, there's a difference. Do you understand? So, your pastor might scold you. The tone your pastor used will not, oh, let me tell you from me, I'm growing. The tone I'll use to scold you will not always be a palatable tone. Are we together? Yeah, one of the things you want to do for your heart is to not throw the baby and the bathwater away. I wish that if someone tells me that I'm doing something this way or doing something that way, I don't just say, do you have the right to speak to me? No, that's the pride of my heart. It is in what you are saying, could there be an atom of truth in it? I should be able to lie to myself. Okay, I can do better. Altogether. So, God said he will give pastors after. So, who is the pastor? The word pastor in the Hebrew is the word Raha. Raha in the Hebrew. Raha. R-A apostrophe A-A. Yeah, that's the word Raha. That's the word pastor in the word Hebrew. And it's a word that is used for one who tends, who nurtures. That's the word Raha in the word Hebrew pastor. That's the word pastor in Jeremiah 3. I'll give you Raha according to my heart, and it shall feed you. So your pastor is one who tends for you, who nurtures you, who rules, who leads. Your pastor is one that keeps company with you. I'm going to say some very important ones now. Your pastor keeps company with you. Your pastor is a friend. Are we together? Right? He tends, he nurtures, he leads you, he guides you, he trains you, he equips you, he keeps company with you, there for you.
is friendly towards you. That word is frequently used for herdsmen. You know the word herdsmen? Or shepherd. What we can call a presiding manager. A companion. All these things I've listed to you, these are the things that your pastor will do or is to you. That's how a pastor does his work. So knowing who the pastor is makes it easy for the believer to know how to follow their pastor and how not to follow their pastor. Think of that. Knowing who your pastor is makes it easier for the believer to know how to follow their pastor or how not to follow their pastor. The pastor presides. He rules, he guides, he leads, he administers, you know, training, he equips you. The pastor is your shepherd. So your pastor is your shepherd. Your pastor is your overseer. Your pastor is your brother. Your pastor is your teacher. Your pastor is your leader. Your pastor is your father. Your pastor is your friend. I'll put that over again. Right? Your pastor, the one responsible for your spiritual growth. Right? He's an overseer to you. He is a brother to you. He is a teacher to you. He is your leader. He is your friend. He is your father. In the Christian faith. Are we together? So, your pastor is somebody who has that spiritual responsibility. Look at how Hebrews says it. Hebrews 13 verse 7. I will look at one story in one of the stories in Corinthians. You can have many instructors. You can have many mentors. You know, mentor is not a word you can really say in scripture, but for in our world, yeah? You can have many instructors, but your pastor cannot be many. Are we together? Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 7. Look at Hebrews 13, 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their words, their conversation. It now goes to verse 15. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is what? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Look at verse 17, everybody together, 1, 2, 3, go. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves for the watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with what? Joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So, when your pastor pastors you with joy and grief, now, should your pastor pastor you with joy and grief? Ideally, no. But if for any reason that becomes a narrative in the heart of your pastor, who is he unprofitable to? It's not your pastor, it is to you. Look at it very well again. It says that it is unprofitable for you. That's why the Hebrews now say in verse 18, pray for us. For we as pastors trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you, what? Sooner. Are we together? So your pastor is one who has that spiritual oversight over you. You don't have several pastors. Yeah, you can have. See, you can do that. You can. Your pastor is one that is responsible. And interestingly, you said, "See, I read a lot. I read a lot from pastors. I read a lot of pastors that have gone years behind and all of that." And I realized a sense of. I remember someone reached out to me one, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and during Christmas, the person brought a gift to me. Right, and I said, "Oh wow, thank you, lovely gift." I was like, have you given your pastor a gift? And he kept quiet for a while. Said, that's what I'm giving you. I said, you are going to a church that is not in my city. Sunday, Tuesday, Friday. The man is praying in the night every day on you. When you have issue, the first person you will call is him. But you don't deem him worthy of a gift at Christmas. But you deem me because you like, maybe I use Greek words. You know, some of us don't know these things. Though. Yeah? When something is wrong with you, you call that man from his sleep. Right? Yeah? When things are going south, the same man. But when it's time for you to
Give double honor, like the scripture. You say that in scriptures, we're going to look for one man. That's dishonorable. That's dishonorable. There's nothing wrong in giving. So there's nothing wrong in him giving me that gift. And that's why I'm using myself as an example. Are we together? I'm not trying to say it's not about, no. I'm using myself as an example. I know your pastor. I know that you go to this church every Monday, every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Friday for preaching. I know he's the one shouting over your head. I know he's the one laboring over your head. I know what he's doing. Right? If you will give me a gift, you can't just say I listen to. So you listen to me. No. And you learn from that. You learn from that. That's very important. Right? So it's important for you to know who is your pastor. What is the responsibility of your pastor? We look at how, you know, Jesus is the shepherd and how your pastor is the shepherd, and we'll close with it. But before we go, look at John chapter 15. John 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, John 15, 12, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for what? For his friends. Is that Jesus talking? Are you here? Greater love than this. Are you following me? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. What did Jesus say in verse 14? Ye are my friends, and if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what is the Lord doeth, but I have called you what? Friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So Jesus shared a close and familiar bond and relationship. He was their companion as well as their father, as well as their teacher. Are we together? So there's nothing wrong in a pastor being friendly. There's nothing wrong in a pastor being familiar with you. You know what the problem is? Symphony, that's a Greek word. Yeah, over familiarity is the problem, not familiarity. And people are not wise enough to know where to draw the line. That's why you see some pastors, they act the way they act towards their members. You know, some pastors, they just greet members from afar. Oh, how are you? You're right, good. You want to speak to me? Speak to him. When the crowd is large, definitely, the pastor cannot speak to everybody. But you should be able to see that sense of your pastor. So I'm saying to you all today, you'll become, like I said, you might, if, when you become a leader. Don't because pastor has made you a leader. Don't because Moses has made you Joshua a leader. You now carry your shoulder. You that usually you will be. Now, it also means that there's a way your conduct will change. And I was telling you on Wednesday, yeah, your friend can be your friend on Sunday morning, and Sunday evening is ordained as a leader or a pastor. That relationship has changed. Are we together? Yeah. Let me tell you for your good. If your friend is your friend normally on Sunday morning, when he's doing something, just slap the back of his head. Sunday evening, if he becomes a pastor, try to stop slapping the back of his head. You know why? Because one day he will hold the mic and say, "Cross share by the year." And you just say, "You come on." In your mind, you just say, "If I will." Why am I teaching you these things? For your good, though. Jesus went to a city and there was no honor in the city. But the Bible says that Jesus still gave his all and he healed a few folks. When you walk towards dishonor, towards who God has laid his hands upon, who loses out? Hebrews says it's not profitable for you. And this, what I'm teaching you is not about God's palace alone. Altogether. So Jesus will say, friend. You know, when Judas wants to betray Jesus, he will say, friend, do that which you've come to do quickly. So he had that relationship. So do you suppose Jesus ate? That's why Jesus your pastor is don't eat anyhow. Some of them they've learned lesson. Some of them have learned lesson the hard way, so they begin to caution themselves. All together. So Jesus will come to his disciples' house. Can Jesus sit in his disciples' house? Yes, now. Yeah? That's why me, I've grown up learning. In fact, the kind of pastor that I learned. I learned closely from my father, but I learned how not to eat anyhow. So I grew up not seeing my father eat in people's houses.
Amen. Do you suppose why? So what I ever do to anybody is that I always eat well. Not the one that I'll come to you, I'll be looking for always coming from the kitchen door.
I'll be wondering what are you making? You go to somebody's house, you go to somebody's house, they are frying plantain. You know plantain? That's the Eastern Reverends. They are frying plantain and
in your mind you already come.
I know sister told me. So you fry plantain, it has to be fried rice. And they're just with you. That's the fried rice. You see the portion. I'm already prepared to say how to say reduce the portion. I started when we finish frying, we stay 2 hours, 3 hours. They've not brought plates in front of you. You know, they ask, do you want anything? They say, give me water. You know, I'm hungry. You're hungry. You say, they should do anything. Some people are very funny. You know, I just learned this from how I grew up. When somebody comes to your house, some of you that don't want to give somebody anything, you just offer them something in passing. So once they say no, you can easily hold your thing and go to the kitchen. Because some people, once you say it the first time, the second time, you can just bring it. Yeah? So you already know those kind of people. You just say, okay, I have only one juice in this house. Why should I be sharing it? Say, do you want a bottle of it? Okay. And you two now that you have shame, you two will not be able to say, what did you say? You just say, okay, I'm okay with water. Okay, water, okay, water. Praise the Lord. So Jesus had that friendly relationship. However, they knew where to draw the line. Jesus was a friend of Peter, was a friend of his disciples. So your pastor can be your friend. Your pastor should be friendly to you. But you know where to draw the line. Altogether, you know where to draw the line. You know where to see your, you know where to see Jesus as friend and Jesus as father, Jesus as teacher, Jesus as pastor, Jesus as leader. Altogether. So, what are we saying about this thing? Let's close in Exodus 18 and we'll pick it up from there on Wednesday. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Let's just read a few stories here and pick it up on Wednesday. Are you there? Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses had sat to judge the people. Am I in the right place? Okay. He sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. Look at verse 14. A wise man. And when Moses' father-in-law, what was the name of the man's father-in-law? Look at verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifice, right? So verse 14. Moses' father-in-law Jethro saw all that he did to the people. He said, what is it that thou art doing to the people? Why sit down yourself alone and all the people stand by thee from morning till evening? Is that not a wise counsel? What is he saying to Moses? You can't do everything alone. Altogether. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. So as a pastor, you must not make yourself a monopoly of what? Hearing God's voice. Or you must not make a monopoly out of hearing God's voice, rather. Right? So Moses said unto his father-in-law, because they come to inquire of God. Verse 16, when they have a matter, they come unto me. I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his law. That's Pastor Moses. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Is that good counsel? He says, thou will surely wear away. Why will he wear away? He's human. Are we together? So there's nothing wrong in telling your pastor, Pastor, rest though. Are we together? There's nothing wrong in saying, Pastor, you need to rest. Right? There's nothing wrong in saying, Pastor, you need to rest. Why? Because look at it. Your pastor, you need your pastor alive in health to administer the things of God to you. So don't let the, and that's why as a believer, that's why I told you that prayer in the morning. Can your pastor say, may men like you come your way? You should be able to analyze yourself. I propose, but I'm able to say, we trust we have a good conscience. Think about the things. Don't add more pressure to your pastor's mind, to your pastor's head. Okay. So Moses is supposed to join them, but Moses will say, well, so Jethro will say in verse 18, thou will surely wear away, but thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for you, that thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now to my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God was, and thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and law, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and walk that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men. Is that not true? Is that not good, brother? Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Is that not ordaining leadership? Hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of the thousands. How will Moses reach out to thousands of people only here? And the rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Is that not said? That's cell structure. So cell structure is not is not from the blues. It is, you need men who are faithful, who are not covetous, who have a sincere heart, hating covetousness. And look at 22, let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So there are matters that other people should be able to judge as leaders. Then there are some more that you can leave for Moses. But Moses is judging both major and minor. What did Jethro say? You will wear out. Why will you wear out? Not because the Spirit of God is not on him. Because he's human. So why does your pastor need to rest? It's because he's human. Why does your pastor need to sleep and sleep well? It's because he's human. Why does the pastor need to check his health? Because he's human. Are we together? He says, and if thou shalt do this thing, and God commanded thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all these people shall also go to their places in peace. So Moses listened. Thank God Moses could listen. He listened and acted to the voice of the father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose what? Able men. So Moses could not just pick any random people. The Bible says he chose what? Able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, of hundreds, fifties, and ten. And they judged the people at all. You see, they still judged the matter. Was the matter judged or it was not judged? It was judged. Well, did they have to be Moses? Did they have to be Moses? Are we together? And they judged the people at all seasons. They had curses they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way. Blessed are you if you have a man like Jethro in your life. Who can tell you, Oga, brother, sister, you need to rest. You've got to rest. All together. So we're looking at the example of Moses as a pastor. So one of the things you want to do is you pay attention to how your pastor treats you. In watching how your pastor treats you, you see an example to follow of how to treat people if and when. It's not a mistake I'm saying if and when. It's why. There's why. Yeah? There's the if and when. If and when you become a pastor. Watch how your pastor relates. Watch the kind of things they say. Watch how they respond to tribulation. All together. Right? You know, we had an issue that we just started out a few weeks ago in church. Right? You watch how that issue was dealt with. Because you would have more issues like that in days and years to come. You observe. That's why when you come to church, you come writing material. You see, when I go for meetings, like I told you, I'm going for a meeting in the next couple days. When I go for meetings, I don't just write what is being taught. Sometimes it can just be around how this was administered, how this person spoke to this person, how this person gave this sign language. So when you come with your two eyes. And the two eyes inside, the eyes of observation. All together. Observation. Look at Sister Steph is teaching next week or the week after. So anytime she teaches like that, I usually have a series of hours with her to guide her. So she teaches me first about two times a minimum before she comes to teach. So when she was teaching, when she was teaching last week before she traveled, one of the things she said, I'm not cutting the song I will sing. Why did she think she has to sing? Because that's what I do. In my head, I'm like, who asked you to sing? she said in my notes, I'm not cutting the song I'm going to sing when I do. That is where observation comes in. You don't have to, it's not like this. There's nobody has to say you have to sing before you teach. If you don't want to embarrass yourself, you keep your voice. But you could tell that she's observing. She said, I never paid attention to I used to sing. I'm like, what are you saying to me? How can I say I used to sing? Apparently, I used to sing. Amen. With my voice that is not following. And the shark keyboard that is following me. I went together. So you are observing. You are observing. How does pastor use his example? You know, if you observe me well enough, you know that there are some examples I want to give. And I cut myself and say, whoa, whoa. You should learn it. Because when you are teaching, something will come into your mind. And you start, and before you know that if you go there, you will go south. Hallelujah. You go. Yeah, so you learn it. How do you learn it? By watching, by observing, by watching, by observing. when pastor, when for any Sunday when I'm not leading praise or I'm not singing or I'm not on the keyboard, for instance, how do I worship? You see, pastor comes out, he stands and he lifts up his hands. You see how pastor is praying, he's pacing. You don't have to pace, it's not compulsory to pace. But the most important thing is that pacing, there's a reason why pastor is pacing. It's that pacing will make you active. Except you are very intense in your canality that you can be sleeping and be pacing. I was together. You see when pastor is singing, when they are singing, pastor is singing. You see when you see when I play keyboard, I sing when I play keyboard. Are we together? Sometimes I play keyboard and I lift my head. You are watching those things. Not the day you become pianist, you only just or you are playing drum. What is drum? When you play drum during praise and worship, but you don't, you've not praised. You've helped us to guide the musical aspect of it. You've not praised. Yeah? So you see pastor playing keyboard, he says, glory, what is praise? You learn it. No. You see me rejoicing. Yeah? You watch out to rejoice. When you join God's palace and they say rejoice, you say, woo! Woo! Right? After a few weeks, why should you rejoice and scatter the whole place? You've watched pastor. Altogether. That's why you see all these kids. The best thing for you to do to them is to put them in atmospheres where they can learn the things of God. You'll be shocked at the things they are picking. You'll be shocked at this. There's a baby in the Nigerian church, for instance. I was now, if it was a mother that reminded me a few weeks ago, I said that when I gave him, I'd given a prophecy about how he will not want to go to school. He's barely three or thereabouts. And what do you want to become? I want to be a pastor. I want to be like Pastor Joshua. Yeah? You hear me saying glory, 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 glory. And I'd warned the prayer. I said, when you are staying here in glory, don't just push him down. Make sure he goes to school. If not, it'll be glory, 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 glory. And you sponsor him till his wife take over from sponsoring. Amen. I love you all dearly. Well, look at someone around you. I've talked about the things you've learned today. We'll continue.